Everybody good this morning? Good. Genesis 42. Genesis 42, verse 36. And I'm going to read this to you from the New King James here. The New King James. I want to, I'm going to ask you guys a question here. How many of you guys have a good attitude, an upbeat attitude? Amen? How many of you guys have a beat-up attitude? People are like, I'm not going to be honest on that, Pastor. I don't want you to. But how many of you guys know you can have an upbeat attitude, but you can also have a beat-up attitude? And over here in Genesis 42, in verse 36, I want you to hear this. Now, I'm going to read this to you. Like I said, I'm going to read this to you from the King James, but I'm actually going to read the New King James because it just reads a little bit easier. But Genesis 42, verse 36, Jacob, their father, said to them, "You have bereaved me. Joseph is no more. Simeon is no more. And you want to take Benjamin?" Notice this. All these things are against me. Notice that phrase right there. All these things. I got a question for you. How many of you have ever found yourself in the midst of all these things? Let's look at some of what all these things means. Problems and difficulties. Anybody ever been there? How about situations and circumstances? How about betrayed or forsaken? Tragedy or disaster? All these things. And how many of you guys noticed this? All these things, all these problems don't usually come one at a time. They come in groups. They come in twos, threes, and fours. They come like, you could think of it this way, like a pack of wolves. How many of you guys notice when problems come, they don't always just come one at a time? I always make mention of this because I always find it interesting how sometimes you'll get up in the morning and, you know, when you have a son, things change, especially when your son is 1 year old. And, you know, you get up and you're going out the house. I told you guys this story recently. I was, it's been maybe a month ago or so. I was taking Dax to daycare, got up in the morning, was a little more tired than normal, was running behind, was hurrying to get my son ready, and got ready to go out the door, got my son dressed, thought I was on time, and I noticed that something didn't smell right. So I peeked at my son's diaper and realized, okay, we got a dirty diaper. So I turn around, I run back inside, I get ready to change his diaper, and Dax was in a rolling mood that day, a wrestling mood. And so I take off his diaper, I haven't had a chance to get him clean, and Dax starts rolling. And Dax starts dancing and rubbing against the wall. And Dax turns around and rubs on me. And so I have stuff, aka poop, everywhere. All over me, all over Dax, all over the wall. And I'm trying to rope him in, get him ready for daycare. I'm running late. I'm getting frustrated. I'm like grabbing him, holding him. I'm like, I'm just trying to get him ready. I told him, I said, I'll send you to daycare naked. I don't really care right now. You know, I was like, I'll put you in no diaper and just put you in a t-shirt and send you out the door. And so, I mean, I'm trying to get him ready. And then I'm running to daycare, and I get to daycare, and I drop him off. And then how many of you know things just start happening throughout the day in twos, threes, and fours? It's like problems and circumstances, situation. It all comes, it's not like it comes one at a time. It always comes in multiples. It always comes like a pack of wolves. And this scripture right here is very interesting because it said this, all these things. We found ourselves, most of us have found ourselves in these situations, but I want you to hear this morning. This is what I want you to get a hold of. This is one thing. One of the great things about life is that you can choose the attitude you display in the middle of whatever you're going through. You get to choose your attitude. How many of you guys know that's awesome? But consequently, the attitude you choose is very important. So you get to choose the attitude you have, but your attitude is important. Listen to this. Your attitude is a revelation, hold on to your seat, are you ready? Of who you are. Your attitude is a preview of what you will eventually do. Your attitude is a glimpse of your ultimate outcome in life. But what I want to do is encourage you with this. Instead of giving into the circumstances of life, I want to encourage you to develop and to cultivate a champion attitude. I want you to have a good attitude. Now, we're going to look at two people in the Bible. We're going to look at one that didn't have a good attitude, and we're going to look at one that did. And I want you to see the difference between these two. The first one was Jacob. We just read that scripture, and that's about Jacob. Jacob did not have a champion attitude. Jacob had a beat up, defeated attitude. Remember what he said? All these things are against me. Look at this in different translations. The NIV, everything is against me. The Living Bible, everything has been against me. The RSV, all this has come upon me. Berkeley version says this, all this comes down on me. And the Jerusalem Bible says it this way, all this I must bear. Jacob, let's look at Jacob's life here for a second. Look at these problems he had. He'd already lost one son, Joseph. His wife, Rachel, died. Another son, Simeon, had been accused of espionage and was in prison. He was in danger of losing his youngest son, Benjamin. His family problems multiplied, and a famine had struck the whole family, teetered on the edge of starvation. How many of you guys know Jacob had some problems? All these things are against me, but here's the thing. Jacob was aged, hungry, forsaken, lonely, and defeated, and he began to complain. What did he say when he complained? All these things are against me. How many of you guys have ever felt like that? Good. I'm so, like, the church is maturing because we've never felt that way. No, we all have. All of us have had problems come up and we go, it feels like all of these things are against me. Has anybody in this room ever laid out all your problems to God? You know, I'm struggling financially and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And we just lay it out before God. That's what Jacob's doing. He says, all these things are against me. All of this is happening against me. But here's something I want you to listen to. In the midst of trouble, Jacob forgot that God was more than enough. In the middle of the circumstances, Jacob forgot the benefits of serving God. Considering his circumstances, his attitude may have been understandable, but listen right here, but he badly underestimated God's love and care for him. Jacob got so focused on his problems, he forgot about the God he served. What was Jacob's response? All these things move me. All these things are coming up on me. They're bearing down upon me. I feel weighted. But somebody else had very similar circumstances and had a different attitude. Jacob had a defeated attitude. But Paul had a champion attitude. Paul had a champion. Listen to what Paul said in Romans 8:37. Look at this. Listen to, this is Paul, who's been through a lot. Listen to what he said. You ready? Notice the difference. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. You notice the difference in the attitude? Paul had an upbeat champion attitude. Now look at some other translations. But despite all these overwhelmingly, victory is ours through Christ who loved us enough to die for us. The Johnson paraphrase, no, in all these circumstances, we may live triumphantly through God's love. Williams, translation, and yet in all these things we keep on gloriously conquering through him that loved us. Rickert, translation, listen, in all these things Jesus, our great leader, has established us, listen to this, as invisible champions through his amazing provision for us. You notice the difference of the tone? One says, all these things are upon me. And one said, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through God that loved us. Paul had a champion attitude. He had an upbeat attitude. Paul was conscious, listen, of what Jesus had done for him on the cross. Paul was conscious of it. He was aware of what Jesus had done for him. What was the difference between the two of them? Well, Jacob forgot that God loved him. But Paul focused on God's love. Jacob forgot that God was bigger than all his troubles. But Paul considered the power of God. Jacob forgot that God cared for him. But Paul was conscious of God's care for him. You notice the difference between the two? It's quite a stark difference because now somebody might say, but Pastor, you read that list of Jacob, and that's pretty rough. And Paul's over here saying, you know, yet in all these things we're more than conquerors. What happened to Paul? Did Paul have any problems? So glad you asked. 2 Corinthians 11:23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. That's beatings, okay? In prisons, more frequently. In deaths, often. Listen to a little bit of what happened to Paul here. From the Jews, 5 times. 5 times, y'all. 5 times. I received 40 stripes minus one. That's 39 stripes, 5 times. Beaten. 3 times, I was beaten with rods. Once, I was stoned. 3 times, I was shipwrecked. A night and a day, I have been in the deep. In the journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleepiness often. That means he was tired a lot. In hunger and in thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. That means the dude didn't have no clothes. Okay? Besides the other things, what comes up on me daily, notice what he said, my deep concern for all the churches. And then he goes on to say, yet in all these things we're more than conquerors. Paul had a lot, y'all. And that's what's so funny is a lot of times we think our life, we go, man, I'm going through a lot. Well, how many of you have been beaten 5 times? With rods, shipwrecked, abandoned. That encourages us as believers to know if God brought Paul through, he can bring us through. If God took care of Paul in those situations, then God can take care of us. But we have to have a different attitude. We have to have that champion attitude. We have to have that attitude that says, I'm going to be upbeat. I'm not going to be like Jacob. I'm going to be like Paul. I'm going to change my attitude. I'm going to be like Paul. I'm going to have a champion attitude. I'm not going to be beat up. I'm going to be upbeat. Jacob focused on the wrong things. Paul focused on the right things. Paul went through just as much as Jacob, maybe even a little more. But Paul said what? We can overcome in all these things because God loves us. You notice the difference in the tone? You notice the difference in where the focus was? Jacob was focused on his troubles. Paul was focused on God. So listen to this. You got to get this. I want you to hear this. It's one thing for you to have trouble, but it's another thing for trouble to have you. Trouble may surround you, but you don't need to let trouble inside of you. You can respond like Jacob when you have trouble with that beat up attitude, or you can respond like Paul with an upbeat attitude. Let that sink in this morning. Trouble may surround you, but you don't need to let trouble inside of you. It's one thing for you to have trouble, but it's another thing for trouble to have you. Listen to this quote. Viktor Frankl was a World War II Holocaust survivor. And this is what was said. The last of the human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances. You can choose your attitude. So how do you change your attitude? How can I change it? You might say, Pastor, I've got the wrong attitude. I've got this beat up attitude. I'm kind of beating myself up. I'm more Jacob than I am Paul, but I want to change today. I want to come over from Jacob to Paul. I want to have that upbeat, that champion attitude. I want to see things a little bit differently. Well, there's three things you can do. Number one, remember these three things. These are three things you can remember. Number one, God loves you and cares for you. You need to remember that God loves you and cares for you. How many of you guys notice when the devil comes to you and problems come to you, he always tells you that God doesn't love you and God doesn't care about you? You ever notice that? Like, problems start happening, bills start piling up, things are coming against you, and the thought always comes in your mind, what? God doesn't love me. God doesn't care about me. You ever notice how the enemy will tell you God cares about others more than you? Good. See, what happens here at church is we just call the devil on his bluff. Because what happens is, as believers, if we're not careful, we think we're the only ones that deal with those thoughts. But I got news for you this morning. You're not alone. All of us in this room have had those thoughts. I've had them. You know, the enemy will come to you with thoughts. God doesn't care about you. God doesn't love you. But you need to remember, God does care about you, and God does love you. You took communion today. That shows you that he loves you because he paid a price for you. He hung on the cross. I mean, there's so much. I mean, you know, it's just like I was telling my brother back there when the Lord was telling me to pray for him. It's like, how many of us in this room, all of us could raise our hand, where God changes the whole course of a service to talk to you? What does that show you? That he loves you. I mean, you know how many services I've been in and I've been sitting in the front row, or, you know, as a pastor, I always hide out in the back row. That's the back row, because I don't like being front row. You know, this is comfortable for me now, but it's taken me time to get there. But if when I go places, I'm always back row, man. Woo, back row, back by the bathroom row, you know. And I'm always back there, and I'm just like, I don't want anybody to know I'm here. I don't want anybody to call me out. And I've had times where God will literally call me out. And I'm like, seriously? But why does he do it? Because he wants me to know he cares about me. He wants me to know he loves me. So you can be reminded of things. You can remind yourself of that. God loves me and God cares for me. It'll help you change your attitude. Number two, God's provision, listen to this, is abundantly more than enough for you. Abundantly, not just enough, but abundantly more. So God loves you, he cares for you, but then God will provide for you. Can we all be a little honest this morning? How many of you in this room, I'm not going to have you raise your hands, because I know, I mean, nobody will want to raise their hand, but all of us have dealt with this. Get concerned about money. You know, you talk about money in church, it gets real quiet. Real, like, people are like, don't you talk about my money, you know. But all of us in this room have had those thoughts about money. Sometimes when you pay that bill, how many of you have ever done this number? You pay the bill, and you watch the money go out of the account, and it hurts. And you go, you know what has just passed through us? Tax season. Some of us have got money back. Some of us paid in. I've paid in before. I paid in a whole lot before. And I'll tell you this much, when you're sitting there and your tax person has a look on their face and they're like, well, we got good news. And you're thinking, good news about what? Well, you got some money back, but then you owe this money, so now you owe more than what? And you're just like, ow, 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 ow. And then you write that check, and then that money comes out of your account. And what's the first thought that comes to your mind? Oh, how are we going to get that money back? Oh, what do I need to sell? What do I got to sell? Can I be honest with you this morning? God's provision is abundantly more than enough for you. You don't have to sell everything unless God tells you to. I want to tell you something. I want to give you a little advice here, pastoral advice. You ready? I have sold things instead of relying on God to provide for me. And then I said that God told me to do it when he didn't. See, people do that. We put things off on God. Why do we sell it? Because we want to get rid of the pressure. Because it's easier to sell than, okay, here we go, ready? Living room, get real close. It's easier to sell than trust God to provide. You say, what have you sold? Don't worry about it. But I have sold a lot of things. I'll tell you one thing I sold that still to this day, it kicks me in the gut relentlessly. You ready? I had a Fender Stratocaster Reverb, twin reverb, 65 amp, that was the most delicious thing you'd ever heard on a guitar. I loved that thing. Loved it. I mean, it had distortion enough that it would make the neighbors mad, but enough soul that it would make you want to cry when you played it. It was just good. And I had it, and I needed money, and I sold it. And every time I go to a store and I see that amp and how much it's worth now, I go, you doofball. But no, why did I sell it? Because I got rid of it because I was like, I need money. And God said, but do you trust me? I trust you, but here we go. I'll just do it myself. That's called the arm of the flesh. God's provision is abundantly more. You have to remind yourself that God will take care of you. Now, if God told me to sell it, I would sell it. And how many know when you do it God's way, it's good? Because when you do it God's way, there's peace there. But then also, God will take care of you. And what I found out with God is, when you do something and God has told you to get rid of it, God will bless you back double. Amen? I mean, if you get rid of the amp and God told you to do it, he'll bless you back with something better. You know, and there's peace in it. It may be like, oh, it hurts the flesh, but you know in your heart that God has told you to do it. So I'm not saying don't do that if God has told you, but I'll tell you from experience, and Pastor Rob did it one time. You know, remember that story he always told? He said, he told me, he said, I'm gonna provide for my family because I'm a provider. And I was like, okay, this is a good story, because when men start doing that, we get ourselves in trouble sometimes. And he said, he had a CD player, and he said, I'm going to go pawn this thing. I'm going to get $500 for it. And he went down to the pawn shop, and the guy said, I'll give you $5 for it. I think it was like $5 or $10. And Rob said, that was like a gut punch. And so then he sold it and took the $5 and stormed out of there. But what happened? He was trying to do something when God didn't tell him to do it. And, you know, provision, you have to remind yourself, God loves you. God cares for you. You're always on his mind. Apple of his eye. He thinks about you all the time. If God was a human and he had a refrigerator, you'd be on his fridge. Your pictures, your accomplishments. He loves his children. You have to understand that. But not only that, he will abundantly provide for you. God will take care of you. It may be uncomfortable for a season. Can I be honest again with you? We're getting real honest this morning. Can I be honest with you about something? There will be seasons in your life where you trust God and it's uncomfortable. But that uncomfortableness doesn't mean God's not working. It just means God's working on you and working things through you and helping you out so that in the long run, you'll be further along. Because, I mean, that's one of the things that happens. We start trusting God, let's say in the area of our finances. We're like, okay, well, Pastor said God's provision is more than enough for me. And then God tells you to chill out on spending or chill out on this or don't sell this or don't do this, and it hurts. And what happens when it hurts is we want to get rid of that. So we're like, well, how do I get rid of it? How do I get rid of it? So we try to go sell something. We try to get rid of it. We try to avoid it. Instead, we said this morning over there in James, it says this, count it all joy. Let me say this again. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into various trials, tests, and temptations. That I like what Scripture says. We read this morning to the group that was here this morning when we prayed, the volunteers, and it said this, you know, when you have various temptations, various trials, it says, when you're enveloped and everything around you seems difficult, count it all joy. So I made a good observation this morning. You ready? Here we go. Hold on to your seat. Are you ready? Some of the most joyous people in church all to be the ones that are going through some of the most difficult times in their life. Why? Because God's working. And so you got to know God will take care of you. God will get you through it. And when you come out on the other side, glory to God, you'll be blessed. And you'll be better than when you went in. You'll be more provided for. You'll be more confident. It might be uncomfortable, but remember this. Like I said this morning, it's a season. It's not a permanent residence. It's a season. You'll get through it. Amen. You'll come out. If you trust God, you'll get through it. Woo! So some of y'all are like, I better get happy because I'm going through some stuff. Hey, we all have been there. We all are going through things, so we all should be happy. Amen? So God loves you. He cares for you. Remember that. Remember that God's provision is abundantly more than enough for you. And number three, listen to this. Oh, this is so good. God will deliver you out of all your troubles. When you're going through something, y'all, and God's on your side, you'll get out of it. I've learned this with God, and Pastor Marvin taught me this. He reminds me of this a lot. You know, when you're going through things, sometimes God will take you around it. Sometimes God will take you right through the middle of it. But no matter what, how God gets you through it, you always come out on the other side better. You always come out on the other side stronger. You always come out on the other side. Notice that scripture. Remind yourself of this scripture. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for your rod and your staff. What's that mean? When I go through anything in life, he's right there. Every trouble that you face, God is with you. And here's what's really good. Yay, we are more than conquerors through all these things. We overcome. Things that you face in life are not greater than the greater one that's in you and the greater one that's with you. It's not bigger than God. So that tells me this. Even though I go through things, I will come out on the other side. Even though I go through things, God will deliver me out of it. God will bring me through it. God will get me on the other side. God will help me out. You know, you could go through something and come out unscathed, untouched. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Awesome story. But you know what I love about that story? Even more the fact that they came out of the fire. I like that little scripture, that part of the scripture that says, there was not yet a smell of smoke upon their clothes. Their clothes didn't even smell like smoke. So that means when God goes through with you, people will be astounded, but it won't even touch you. That's why Psalms 91 says, 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at the other side, but it won't come near to me. God will bring me through. God will get me on the other side. Y'all, if God equipped a young man with a pebble and a sling to defeat a giant, he can help you get through what you're going through. God helped Joseph come from the pit to the palace. He can help you. If God can protect Esther, if God can protect Paul, if God can bring these men and women through some of the hardest things that we have read about and we go through things, we can take note and take confidence that God is for us, that who can stand against us? See, God not only cares and loves for me, God will also provide for me, but God will always bring me through all my trouble. He'll deliver me out of them. Woo, that's good news. See, that's an upbeat champion attitude. So what happens every day, every single day, in the midst of your things that you go through, circumstances, difficulties, you have a choice. Number one, have a beat up, defeated attitude. You can say it this way, all these things are against me. Or you can have an upbeat champion attitude and say, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. It's all a matter of perspective. And you have to choose it. Amen? And now here's the thing. Sometimes you need a little, like, encouragement. And that's what church people are for. Church people are good encouragers. That's why LifePoint members are good encouragers. So that's why if you're going through something and you need a little pick-me-up, you just call and say, pick me up. Now, I'll tell them Miss Dorothy here. goes, Miss Dorothy, she calls me, and she's called me in times past. It's been a while back, but she would call me, and she would just say to me, remind me what the word says. And she would preach to me, and I would preach to her, and we just preach to each other what the word says, and then we're good. That's what's she doing? She's like saying, I'm going to encourage you. You encourage me. We're going to get an upbeat attitude and encourage each other, and then we're good to go. So that's what people in church are for. When you're going through something, you can say, you know what? I'm believing God, and I'm going through this. I know he cares for me. I know he loves me. He's going to provide for me. I know he'll bring me through it, but I need some encouragement. Can you encourage me for a little bit? I don't know about you. I know the people in this room. You're good encouragers. And sometimes you just got to get people around you to encourage you and remind you that God's able. Amen? Now, has anybody in this room ever been through things? Yes. Have we ever been through things? Yes. Have we been through things where you're thinking, man, how am I going to get through this? Yes. Do the thoughts come? Yes. Do the feelings come? Yes. Do the circumstances of life come? Yes. But the greatest thing that we get to do in life is we can choose our attitude in any circumstance. So you can choose to be happy. You can choose to be joyous. You could be the happiest person, and people are like, you're just too happy. Could you imagine how much it would throw people's pinball machine on tilt if you were so happy? People are like, why are you so happy? Because I'm going through a whole lot. I'm counting all joy, man. Overly abundantly joyous. You know, why are you so happy? Because I'm going through stuff. That's Bible. What's that doing? That's choosing a champion attitude. You know? So when you go through something, and now here's the thing. I'm gonna give you like a heads up before I pray for you, before I let you go. I'm gonna give you a heads up. You ready? Y'all are gonna have opportunities this week to practice this. And some of you are gonna have an opportunity when you go home today. So when it happens, stop and say to yourself, I'm gonna choose the right attitude. And if you can't say nothing good in the words of my Father, don't say nothing at all. Just wait a moment, and then find out what the Bible says, then have that upbeat attitude. Just say, I'm going to need a moment. Things are coming against me. I'm going to need a moment real quick. I'll be right back. I'm going to go find my Bible real quick. But, you know, you're going to go home. I'm going to tell you, you're going to have an opportunity to practice this. Why? Because you've heard it. Now you got to do it. See, that's the awesome thing with church. And here's what happens. You go home, you practice it, and guess what? It works, and then you're like, ooh, it actually works. I could have a good attitude. And you could be like, Pastor, I went through stuff this week, and I had joy. I went through stuff. It was crazy. Things were coming against me, and I was choosing an upbeat attitude, and I overcame it. I reminded myself of those three things, and God was faithful, and da-da-da-da-da, and no, I'm happy today. See, you come into church a little different. Come on now. So I want you to be encouraged. Let's choose that champion attitude. Let's be like Paul. Amen? Let's just say, church people, we're going to be like Paul. Amen. We're not going to be like Jacob. We're not going to say all these things. Oh, all these things. Yes, we all have problems. Yes, we have circumstances. We have situations in our life. But we're going to choose an upbeat champion attitude. Amen? Did you get anything from it this morning? Whoo, it ought to stir you up, make you excited. I don't know about you, but the last 3 Sundays, we've had some good messages. Amen? We talked about creating the world we want to live in. Then we talked about changing our perspective, changing our view, changing how we see things. And then today we talked about this, choosing a champion attitude. And so I believe this much, all of these are important. They all work together, amen? So let's just pray this morning. Let's believe God. Father, we just thank you so much for this word today. Lord, it was a word in season. Lord, it's a word that encourages us. And Lord, it reminds us to have a good attitude. So we as a church, we as individuals, we are going to say, we're not going to be like Jacob and have a wrong attitude. We're going to be like Paul and have an upbeat, overcoming, champion attitude. And Lord, when situations in this life come against us, and problems hit on us, and things come against us, we're going to not only count it joy, but we're going to remind ourselves that you love us and you care for us. We're going to remind ourselves that you'll provide for us. And we're going to remind ourselves that you'll bring us through and deliver us out of all of our troubles. Father, we're going to be like Paul. We're going to say, yay, and all these things. we are more than conquerors. We're more than overcomers. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you that the word works. And we thank you, Lord, that we're going to apply it in our life this week, and we will see it come to pass. Lord, I thank you remind these people. Remind them, Holy Spirit, of what they heard today. Remind them they can do this. They can do it with you. And Father, I pray that when anything hits at them this week, they'll just remind themselves of what you've said in your word and what we talked about this morning. We thank you for a great week. Thank you for a great week. Thank you for a great week that you're for us and not against us. And I thank you for your hand upon these men and women and bringing them back safely next week for Mother's Day. We thank you, Lord. It's a great week in front of us because you're with us and you're for us and you're not against us. And your hand is upon us and your spirit is within us. And Father, we just give you praise today in Jesus' name. If you believe it, could you say amen?